I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My father was diagnosed with leukemia on New Year's Eve in 1987. He was only 54. The prognosis was grim. He knew that his days were numbered. Almost a year later, his first grandchild, my niece, Becky, arrived. As Dad took this newborn into his arms, he said with joy, love, and an enormous sense of relief, "I didn't think I would live to see this day." The baby was a light in his darkness, a ray of hope in the gloom that had surrounded him. And so I can't help but think of Dad when I read the story of Jesus' presentation in the temple and hear the words of Simeon and Anna as they greet this new child and they recognize in him the hope for which they have prayed and waited. What was it about this child that stood out for them, that they could recognize him as the long-awaited one? The Holy Spirit had guided Simeon to be there on that day, and at the exact time when Mary, Joseph, and Jesus arrived at the temple. Whatever it was, there was no mistake. Both Anna and Simeon knew in an instant that this child was unique. The young couple brought with them a pair of birds, either turtle doves or young pigeons. Luke does not specify which. This is a clear indication of their social status. Wealthier couples would have brought a lamb, but Mary and Joseph bring what they have, two birds. Anyone who saw them in the temple that day would know that they were poor. Simeon and Anna certainly would have known. So these two sages recognize the long-promised Messiah in the arms of a poor couple. And that begs for me a question about the poor that we meet here in our cathedral and in our community at large. If we see someone who is poor, what do we see? Do we welcome them? Do we see this person as someone who could be a bearer of hope? Someone who could be a light to move us to where God is calling us to go? Someone who could be an influencer? A game changer? Simeon and Anna were able to see past external presentation to those traits that lay deeper, to things that were yet to be revealed. And how do we react when we see someone who appears to be poor coming into our place of worship? Do we welcome them? Do we meet them joyously with a smile and warm, encouraging words? That's how Simeon and Anna greeted this little family from Nazareth, who surely looked like they didn't have much to offer. Shelley Copeland, who is one of the commentators for the commentary series Feasting on the Word, pushes this even further. She asks, if Jesus were born today into a poor family, would he be any better off than he was 2,000 years ago? She writes, will we answer the call to create a global community that makes sure all mothers and fathers have adequate health care, food, education, clothing, and shelter? Making sure that families have everything that they need to succeed is key to raising children who will reach their full potential. As I noted earlier, Anna and Simeon were able to see the hope of the future in a little baby. What do you see when someone brings children into our church? Do you see hope? Do you greet that child and their family with encouragement? We know that Jesus chastised his disciples when they tried to keep little children from them or from him, and he said that the kingdom of God belongs to such as these little ones. I think Simeon and Anna got that. Do we? The late Fred Craddock, great American preacher and storyteller, used to tell the story of a poor boy born out of wedlock, an illegitimate child. Back when this boy was growing up in the late 1800s in the hills of Tennessee, being illegitimate had enormous stigma attached to it. This boy was tormented by his classmates and felt that people were talking behind his back, and they probably were. His mother stopped going to church after he was born because she no longer felt welcome. His grandmother knew it was important for him to go to church, and so she would go with him on Sunday mornings, and they would arrive just before the beginning of the service so that they didn't have to speak to anyone. They tried to leave as quickly as they could at the conclusion of the service. One day, however, they were unable to escape before the preacher had a chance to talk to the young lad. The preacher asked him, "Boy, who's your daddy?" The poor child did not know what to say. It was the question he dreaded most. The preacher looked at him, and he could tell that the boy was clearly uncomfortable with the question, and he said, "Oh, now I see the resemblance. You are a child of God. Go and claim your inheritance." What do we say to the children who come into this place, and what do we see when we look at them? How we see them, how we treat them, and what we say to them can have an enormous impact on how they see themselves and how their lives develop. Scholars estimate that the Gospel of Luke was written in the year 85, give or take 10 years. The temple in which Anna and Simeon encountered the Messiah in that little baby boy was destroyed in the year 70. In other words, before Luke's Gospel was written. Anna and Simeon were long gone by this point. I imagine it would have been difficult of them to conceive of the temple being gone. If you've been to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem or seen pictures of it and the excavation that's happening around that site, you may have been struck by the overwhelming size of that area, and maybe you too have a hard time imagining what it must have been like to destroy such an enormous building. Anna and Simeon had spent a great deal of time in that temple. It was a significant holy place for them. It's heart-wrenching to lose a place that has such powerful significance. But the hope for which Simeon and Anna longed was not lost with the temple. The hope lived in that tiny baby boy that they met that day in the temple. And his light can never be destroyed. His light burns on today and for all of the tomorrows to come. Amen.